Thank you, Anna and team, for those wonderful songs. Today we finish our sermon series titled Speak, Psalms, Hymns, and Spiritual Songs. And over the last number of weeks, we've been walking through a number of those, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And today I'm not really going to look at any psalm or song or hymn or anything. Although when I looked at the list of songs we'd be singing this morning, I thought I could and I should take one of those songs that we just sang and talk about them. We've been talking about the power of words and the power in song of those things, and that's what we've been focusing on. And those songs, I mean, I was telling Kevin before the service as he was walking around doing a sound check, I said, I love that last song. I was kidding with Anna. I said, is that a new song? I've never heard that before. And she goes, are you kidding me? And she looked at me like I was the stupidest guy on earth. She didn't. No, but I was just kidding with her, of course, because that's been around for a while. But I love you, Lord. I lift my voice. And I told Kevin I like it because it's one of the few songs I can remember all the words to. And I was just about to say it, and I can't even remember the words now. I have a very short memory for words of songs. I can always tell you that there's a song that spoke to me, and it was about something. But I can't tell you any of the words in the song or the title of the song. So it doesn't help a lot of people very well. But I love that song, I Love You, Lord. I love Just As I Am. And I've never heard that new version with those new interludes. But what a beautiful song. And I remember, like maybe many of you who are older like me might remember the first time you heard certain songs. I remember the first time I remember hearing Just As I Am. And it was truly at a Billy Graham crusade. I was 5 years old. We were living in Knoxville, Tennessee. And Mom and Dad, a couple nights that week, took us down to the church where we loaded on buses, and we went down to the stadium, and we heard Dr. Graham speak. And as always, at the end, George Beverly Shea or somebody would lead Just As I Am, and the people would come forward. And, there's a lot of talk about whether those going forward movements meant anything. I believe they did for a lot of people. And I remember that song impressing deep in my heart, and I remember for years singing that in church quite often. And always wondering, this is my time, and I'm supposed to respond to this. And when I was 13 years old, and I did go forward at a service in our church after talking to our pastor about what it meant to have Christ as my personal Savior, not just as the guy who took my sin away, but the guy I wanted to give my life to, it was to the song, Just As I Am. So it has a very meaningful place in my life, and maybe for many of you, it resonates in that mindset. These songs can speak so much to us. Song is poetry, it's story, it's meaning at a deeper level that sometimes we cannot put word to. And that's why I love saying, hey, there's a song I heard this week that it speaks specifically to what you're talking about. And I'm sorry, I can't remember the name of it or what it says. I wish I could tell you, but as soon as I find it again, I'll write it down and tell you about it. Or I go searching on Google and say, I'll find it, just I know two words. And if I can find those two words, hopefully I can remember the song. But there's something so valuable about that. To say, here's something in tune of a song that speaks to us. That's why a lot of people like country music. Sorry, if you don't like country music, I'm sorry. But country music are stories. And stories speak to us. I love a story. I love a good story song. But I like a song that can put into words what I'm feeling and I can't put into words for myself. And these hymns, these psalms, these spiritual songs that we've been talking about over the summer, do that. I shouldn't talk about people when they're not in the room, but sometimes that's the best time to talk about them. I don't think Lori Hiller's here, but Lori is one of those people that is always telling me a song I should listen to. I appreciate that. She'll send me the link in a text to the YouTube video to watch it. And these things speak very strongly. Today, as we wrap up, I'm not going to take a lot of your time, really. I just want us to wrap up this series. And the series is called Speak. And really what we've done is we've allowed you to listen and to think. But we haven't talked a lot about this idea of actually speaking these words to one another. And today I want to challenge us as we're in this Labor Day weekend. I'm going to actually give you a job. So Labor Day is supposed to be a rest from your work. Although many of you go and you do your yard work and all those things you haven't been doing all summer, getting ready for the school year coming up or the new year of work. But I want to give us a little bit of labor to do today and in the days and weeks and months to come. But I hope this will be a labor of love that we can take on and really take to heart. And I'll tell you what that challenge is in a moment, but I want to read to you from the theme verse of this sermon series, the theme verses, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 20. We've read this numerous times, but I want to read it to you again. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the church of Ephesus and encouraging them. And he gives them this thought in Ephesians chapter 5. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. Why do we live as wise and unwise? To make the most of every opportunity. Because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Paul saying to them, be wise, not unwise. Make the most of every opportunity. Understand the Lord's will and do it. And he says, speak to one another with these things. Psalms, hymns, and songs of the Spirit. And we've talked about that. Those are the Old Testament psalms. They are the hymns that they sang. And they are these off-the-cuff songs that they would create as they go. We don't do that in our culture very much other than rap music and children. Children will just make up a song about anything and sing it around the house, and that's a beautiful thing when they do. But we as adults don't do that, unless we have a budding, rapping ability, which I don't have. Most of you don't either, so don't try it. But he says to sing these to one another, and then sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. There's two aspects here. When we sing together, we do a couple of things. One is that we encourage each other as we sing together. And another thing is that we sing songs from our heart to God and we worship Him. And it's not just one or the other. When we come and worship together, it's both. And I hope that we are encouraged that we don't sing these songs alone. But I think there's more to this. I think there's something that says we take these meaningful thoughts of these songs that speak to our heart, and we do speak them to one another as opportunity arises. And as we care for one another and as the moment opens up and says, here's a chance to encourage somebody. I think it's beautiful when Lori Hiller or anybody else comes and says, it's like the song I love so much says, and they quote a song to you. And if it speaks to them, there's a good chance that it speaks to somebody else. And if you're in a hurting spot, there's an opportunity for somebody to come and say, you know what, there's a song I know that speaks volumes to me. And they tell you those words, and you know what, I promise I will never sing to you a song, even if I do remember the words, but I will tell you what they are, and I will give you a link to it so you can hear somebody who knows how to sing, singing it. But there's nothing like somebody saying, there's a song I know that might speak to you. And I love when that happens. I love when we do that. So this idea of speaking to one another is something that I think we are challenged to. Not just to hear about these songs, not just to understand them better, not just to feel them a little more, but to truly use these songs and other opportunities through scripture and other opportunities of just encouraging words to speak to one another and to lift people up when they need to be lifted up. We do that in worship gatherings, but we do that one-on-one. And it's not always a song. Some people don't have a mind for songs, but it's just the idea of speaking an encouraging word to somebody who needs it. I'm increasingly aware, more and more as I get older, and as I fumble through life, that all of us, myself included, you included, we all need people who come alongside and encourage and lift us up. And this week I was aware of that so many different times and different ways. I had a situation this week that I had to deal with where I had blown it, messed up something, and misunderstood something that caused some grief in somebody's life. And it all came around to the fact that they just needed to be loved and cared for and heard. And I wasn't there to do that. And I struggled with that. I did misunderstand, and I do think there was some ground for misunderstanding, but at the same time, I felt terrible that I'd missed that opportunity. And while I was dealing with that, that was Friday, when I was dealing with that, I got kind of anxious and discouraged, and I ran away from work. I took off and did a couple other things. And one of those things I had to do was open a bank account. And the lady I was sitting with at the bank says, she was talking to me about what I do for work, and I told her I was a pastor, and we talked about people and needs. And she said, I've been in this branch for one day, and already I've had four people in my office crying because they're hurting. A banker. Four people in one day. She said, man, Dennis, people are hurting. I said, they are. And she goes, they just need to be heard. They just need to be heard. Well, I went from that, and I was going to come back to the office, and I still wasn't ready to come back, so I did something else. And I'll tell you what I did in a moment, but I have to tell you that I'm going to make a prediction right now. And this is a prediction I'm standing on. That the obesity rate in Leduc is going to go up. And Randy's the problem. Never know. How many people know? How many people know Randy and his goods, right? For those who don't know, Randy owns the new marble slab ice creamery over here by the high school. Bad enough that he's bringing ice cream into our community. But that's not why people are going to get heavy. Well, who doesn't know? Who didn't know there was ice cream in the place? But Randy, I love Randy. Randy is an encourager. Randy, if you haven't been in there and watched him, you need to go in there and watch him. And if you've been in there, you know what Randy does. Randy shakes everybody's hands and asks them their name. Since when is that a requirement to get ice cream? To tell you my name and a little bit of my story. But Randy says, hi, I'm Randy, who are you? And he hears people's stories. And he cares and he remembers. And I went over there, honestly, I went over there just because I wanted ice cream. I didn't want to come back to work. Even though I had to finish getting ready for today, I went over there because I wanted to be encouraged. I knew Randy would encourage me. And he did. And he encouraged me by telling me how he encourages other people. And he told me how he was having these opportunities just to talk to people, even his employees, and to share the love of Christ with them. So I don't doubt people will buy more ice cream. Randy, this is a good business plan. People will buy more ice cream, not because they just love the ice cream, which it's good. But they will buy the ice cream because somebody recognized their face. And I know that he's struggling to remember people's names. In a community where everybody's busy and everybody's on the move and everybody's going here and there and only looking out for themselves, here's an ice cream guy who actually wants to know my name. And to hear a little bit of my story. And remember what my favorite ice cream is. And Mark Feldbusch, I know, is not in the room. But Mark is going way too much that they have named an ice cream after him. Okay? So if you want everything with peanut butter, you go in there and ask for the Mark and you'll get it. Okay? Right, Heather? You know that? Heather, you didn't hear that from me. He doesn't go at all during the week when you're working. But Randy is there to encourage. And people need to hear that they matter. And in our culture and in our world, as busy as people are and as many people as people are connected to in social media and other things, people need to have an encouraging word. They need to be heard. They need to be known. They need to be considered. And they just need to have a place where it's safe to tell a little bit of their story. Opportunities are missed to speak words of encouragement into people's lives. And I'll tell you, folks, our silence is deafening at times to people who are waiting for an encouraging word. And what I'm not telling you to do, and the passage I'm going to read in a moment, which is our key passage for today, is a passage that speaks about the message. But what I'm not telling you to do is go and preach more. And go and tell people how they're going to hell and how they're going to wither away in their sin. That's not what I'm going to tell you. There's a place to speak that truth into people's lives in a careful and loving manner when it's available and when that opportunity is there. But the passage I'm going to read you talks about speaking very carefully and speaking in love. And I'm not watering down my beliefs and I'm not watering down what I think is true. What I'm asking is that we reconsider the methodology that we use to care for people. And if your only methodology to care for people is by slamming them in public media or social media and in ways like that, I would ask you to stop. Because you're not winning anybody over and you're not making a difference for your case and you're not growing the kingdom of God. If your only way of encouraging people is to tell them how bad they are because it's your Christian duty to do it, stop. If you have not earned that right to say that, then don't say it. And I'll guarantee you, if you've earned that right with that person to say it, you will have a more loving way to do it because you will be connected with them. And I'm not trying to blast people for what is happening out there, but there's so much fighting and giving of opinions and breaking people down on social media that is not accomplishing one bit of good for anybody. Not for you in your case, and not for them and their salvation or their souls or their hurting. And I'm going to ask you very carefully to consider how you use your words. I'm going to ask you very carefully to just do what this passage is going to say. And the passage I want to read to you is just a few books over in Colossians chapter 4. Still the Apostle Paul, still some of the same words. But let me tell you what these words are in this other version of his statement. It's not the same statement. This is a different letter written to a different group of people, but to the same end. The title in the NIV is Further Instructions, chapter 4 of Colossians, starting in verse 2. Devote yourselves, and that word devote means to persevere in prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly. As I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. In this passage, he's saying, he's talking about the collective we. He's talking about me as the apostle, him as the apostle. He's talking about the you as the body of Christ represented in the world and for the readers that would come in the years to come, which includes all of us today. So he says, persevere, devote yourselves to these things, to prayer. And what are we praying for? To be watchful and thankful and pray that we may not miss an open door for the message. That we would have a chance to proclaim the mystery of Christ for which he was willing to be in chains for. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. And then he switches it and looks at those receiving it, saying, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. I'm not talking about the love of each other in the body. What we're talking about is those outside the body of Christ, those who have not received Christ, those who are maybe on that spiritual journey or not even anywhere close to the path. But be careful and how you wise and how you act towards them. And once again, just like we read in Ephesians chapter 5, he says, make the most of every opportunity. Don't miss an open door. Don't miss the opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace. When somebody's hurting, they don't need condemnation. They may at some point need to be made aware of the sin in their life. I'm not denying that. But what gets them there is words seasoned with grace. Seasoned with salt. How many salt lovers in the room? Anybody? Don't be ashamed. Come on. We're a large breed. Anybody old know the phrase, Lay's potato chips, you can't eat just one. Who remembers that ad in the old days? Why is it that you can't eat just one Lay's potato chip? Because they have better potatoes? No, more salt. Right, Tom? They have more salt. If it was just the potatoes, we'd eat one and say, yeah, they're okay, but I could eat none and be okay. But we taste the salt and we want more. And when somebody talks to us and hears that we care and we hear them out and we speak to them with grace, and we are salted in our words to them. that message of grace that we present, those words of saltiness that are encouraging to them, are something that they will want more of. And once again, this is one of those times when somebody can truly misunderstand what I'm saying. And I'm sure some in the room might right this very moment say, you know what, I think he's selling out. We have to speak the truth in love. I've said before, that doesn't mean you look at somebody and say, I speak the truth in love, but you're a terrible person and you dress bad and you're ugly. That is not speaking the truth in love. That's just being mean. Speaking the truth in love is saying, you know what? I have found Christ in my life and there's an answer for the problems of my life and I'm a broken person. And I think you're a little hurting too. And I think what I found hope in is what you can find hope in. Those are words of grace that are seasoned with salt. So I think we need to reconsider how we address people. This says, do not miss an opportunity, do not miss an open door. And for some, you were raised to say that's an opportunity to preach only and to tell them how terrible they are. And I think that's a missed opportunity. And I think it's a slammed door in your face because you're slamming a door in their face. And I think it's a time that we consider what it looks like to speak words of grace and speak words that are salted with the flavor of the message and the hope of Christ. I looked this week at scriptures that speak about the tongue and speaking and how to do it right and how not to do it. And folks, they are plentiful. I could literally stand here for 3 hours just reading those scriptures to you today. But I want to read you just a few. And we don't have these on the screen. Just listen to these. 1 Peter 3:10 says, for whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. There's so many of these words that if you want to have a good life, you talk about good things. Ephesians 4:29 says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Not unwholesome talk, but only that which is helpful in building others up. Proverbs 15:4 says this, the soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit. Proverbs 12:18-19 says, the word of the reckless pierce like swords. Catch up. The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise bring healing. Truthful lips endure forever, but the lying tongue lasts only a moment. Proverbs 6:16-19 says this. And this is kind of a negative statement, but I like the way it ends because if you turn it around and make it a positive statement, it's a wonderful thing. It says, there are 6 things the Lord hates, 7 that are detestable to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. What does God hate? All these things, but that last one, people who stir up conflict in the community. What God desires is not people out there stirring up crap and dirt everywhere and making everybody feel awful and terrible, but what God wants us is out there spattered with grace, seasoned with salt, bringing the truth of the gospel, not denying that, but bringing it in a loving and caring manner to those who need to hear it. And I told you I was going to give you a job, and this is it. Is what if? Why don't we make this a what if year? What if this year, as we go into school, I mean, I know some of you never stop working. You're just saying, well, it's just starting over stuff. But we all kind of have that summer downtime and we come back to life in full and in the busy schedule and the routine of everything. What if, as we go back to that, our what if is what if a whole group of people trying the best they can to represent Christ speaks words of grace that are seasoned with salt instead of hate, condemnation, detestment. Is that even a word, detestment? It is now. We'll make it one. Start the new dictionary. But what if we walked into it saying, you know what, my goal will be this year is just to speak words of encouragement, to come alongside somebody who needs it. And some of you in this room are saying, you know what, I need some of those words. And yeah, you're right, you do. But I'll tell you, you know what, if you give those words, you'll receive those words. If you encourage somebody else, they'll encourage you back. So what if 2017/2018 is the year that a group of people decided, hey, we're going to talk nicer, more intentionally, taking the time to listen, to hear people's story, to speak words of encouragement and truth when we have the opportunity to do it, not missing those opportunities. What if we quit griping? What if we quit telling people they're terrible, dumb, ignorant, whatever you're telling them on social media? And what if you just say, hey, hope you're encouraged this week. I hope you have a good week. And it might start by saying, hey, what kind of ice cream do you want? Right, Randy? He just didn't ask the ice cream. He asked their name and he says, how's your week been? Is that not one of your lead questions? It's not a program for Randy. It's just who he is. So how's your week been? Has it always been good when people answer? No. But they've been heard. And you just don't have to have the answers for them. All you have to say is, I'm sorry. I hope you have a better week. And when the opportunity arises to say, I'll pray for you. Well, can I pray for you? Only once in my life have I ever had somebody say, no, please don't pray for me. Everybody else has said, sure, couldn't hurt. Couldn't mess up anything even more than it's already messed up. So I want this to be our what if year. What if we live Colossians 4? And this is my closing statement right here. Let me read it, then I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward. What if we live as if this were true and meant to be lived out in our life? Which actually, I believe it is and it should be. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. What if we pray for one another, that God may open up the door, that the message that we need to proclaim, the mystery of Christ, would be given out? What if we pray that we would each have a clear opportunity to share the gospel? What if we are all truly wise in the way What if we are truly wise in the way we act towards one another? What if we don't miss any opportunity and make the most of every opportunity? And what if our conversation will always be full of grace and seasoned with salt? And what if in that caring, as people have questions, we just have the, not necessarily always the right answer, but an answer for them? What could happen? Now next week you're going to come and we're going to find out about all that we're going to talk about for the year. And there's some good stuff, but we're going to be challenged in a lot of ways. And all those things we're going to be challenged in next year fit very well into the what if. What if we take those 10 things that we say we believe? What if we take those 10 things we should be doing? What if we take those 10 attributes of Christ that we should represent and apply them through our speech in grace and season with salt into the lives of those who need to hear it? And I think the what if would be our world would be a better place. Our town would be a better place. And I believe there will be a lot more people who will be encouraged towards understanding the love of Christ in a way they never have before. Let's pray. Father, I come as the weakest of souls when it comes to what I've just talked about. Father, I come as one who blows it more than I get it right. So Father, as this passage, as Paul says, please pray for me. I ask the people here to pray for me. Then I will pray for them, and that we would pray for one another, that we would be encouraged to be about this what if this year. And very simply, Lord, I would pray that we would have words that are full of grace. Because Lord, your message is full of grace. Father, we do not deny the truth, but we are not denying the truth when we acknowledge the fullness of your grace. We don't need to convince most people of their sin or their struggles. Father, your Spirit has convicted their hearts, and quite often, more times than not, they already know the hurt. They know the distance between you and them. quite often what they have not heard from anyone, including the church. Your church, Lord, imperfect as we are, they have not heard the message of grace. So we pray that grace would abound through our lips, through our love, through our care. We pray that the words of our mouths that we share with them and even our listening ears would be just seasoned so heavily with salt that they could not get enough of the words of truth that we would share with them. So, Father, we give this to you and ask that you would make this what if a reality this year. That this seemingly small challenge, which is not small in the least, would be the challenge we would pick up and take on. And just even today, the Lord, as we walk amongst each other before we leave this building, and as we walk out of here, as we walk into a new school year, a new work year, whatever it may be, we just simply pray that we would question, what if I just encourage that person? If I give them words of grace seasoned with salt? What might change in their life? What might change in my life? We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.